being raised, I was born and raised in the Adventist Church. Even though my parents weren't born and raised in the Adventist Church, they joined the Adventist Church in their, I think it was their third or fourth child. But the thing is that as I look back at my parents' life, it was quite providential of what happened to us later. When my mother and father were farmers in British Honduras, they owned a sugarcane farm, and they did quite well with the sugarcane farm. In fact, it was doing so well, they purchased chickens, and they imported chickens from the United States, Leghorn chickens. I don't know if you remember the big white chicken in the cartoon. Yeah, Foghorn. He was a Leghorn, okay. And then Rhode Island Reds, which they didn't even have in our country. So they were the only ones to have those types of chicken. 500. Can you imagine 500 chickens? And
walking through our little village for his all. And the pastor had, oh, we do have this. Oh, perfect, perfect.
And it's on already? Okay, there it is. Now I could be a little bit more comfortable because I do like to walk a little bit when I'm talking. And they were sitting out on the porch, and this gentleman came through, and he says, "Are you ready for Jesus to come?" And now this is back in 1950 something. "Are you ready for Jesus to come?" And my parents stood up and says, "Who's this guy?" And he kept walking around. "Are you ready for Jesus to come?" He went all the way through the entire village. And my mom kind of got a little bit worried. She goes, "Am I ready? I don't know if I'm ready." And that night, she had a dream. She dreamt she looked out into the eastern sky and she saw what she thought were a flock of birds flying towards her. But as they came closer and closer, she realized they were angels. And then she looked in the middle of the angels, and there was Jesus on the throne coming to receive the righteous people. And she was afraid because she didn't know if she was ready or not. And she looked around, people were screaming and yelling and running. And she looked down into the valley, and she could see that pastor perfectly, comfortably, peaceful with a group of people with their heads bowed, and they were praying. My mom woke up from that dream and she says, "I know what I need to do." She found that pastor, and the pastor invited them to a crusade seminar he was having downtown. My mom and dad went. They heard the Adventist message. Pastor Ko preached the Adventist message. They left their beloved Anglican Church, Church of England, because this was a British colony, and joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And so, yeah, and that's how we became Seventh-day Adventists. Now, later, there was a plague coming through. My dad was still kind of questioning whether he really wanted to, be this full new Christian. And he was always kind of like on the outside, even with the Anglican Church. My mom was more of the real deal. Reading her Bible and participating and getting everyone ready for church on Sunday, but now it was Saturday. And one of the things for us, our home worked like clockwork. It wasn't like I see it today. Everything had to be done before sundown Sabbath. So that meant the car had to be washed, the house had to be cleaned, our shoes had to be polished, everybody had to have their Sabbath clothes out, and my mom would come through the whole house. We had nine kids. And inspect that everybody had their clothes ready. And then that evening, she would make bread. And so every Friday night, our house smelled like bread. It's just like, oh man, such a great memory. And we would eat a little bit of bread, and we would have, we call it redback. It's the Dutch cheese, and or Gouda or something like that with a nice slice of cheese. And that was very English because the English influenced us so much. We even started drinking tea, right? We had tea time in India now, but it's all this influence. But this experiences after experiences were so awesome. And now my dad was watching what was going on in my mom's life and becoming more and more interested. And then this plague came through that were wiping out all the chickens in our country, in British Honduras. And my dad made a bargain with God. He said, God, if you protect my chickens, I'm going to give you 50% tithe instead of 10%. That's what he said, 50% tithe. Just because he didn't know what to do, because everybody's chickens, he had 500. He had and these were imported chickens, some of the best chickens in the country. And so, do you know that all the chickens in that town were wiped out except my dad's? All of them. He became very religious after that. You know, and by the time they came to the United States and we migrated here, I was two. People already knew who they were because he had shared the story with someone and they printed it in the recorder. So many people knew about my family before we even got here. But that was kind of our experience. Very prophetic, spiritual, you know, of all these different types of things happening. My mom having a dream, my dad praying for his chickens. And that's how our experience was coming into this church. And it's interesting because all those things, all those events changed the trajectory of our life and the way we thought and the way we believe. And they're very powerful. These spiritual events are so powerful, but the spiritual events that are about to come are going to be so powerful, but also deceptive. That's going to be really, really tricky for a lot of us. And I want to talk a little bit about that, because just because things are spiritual doesn't mean that they're right. And just because things are coming through the church doesn't mean that they are right. Just because things are coming through Israel, because that was God's chosen people, doesn't mean that they're right. Do you know that the Christian church in Germany backed the Nazis? Did you know that? Because the Jews were the enemies of Christ. Okay? So they This is off. Is this off? Okay? We're good now? Oh, it doesn't like me to, even with this? Maybe I should stay back here. I'll stay back here. But very interesting, because now here it is. For these shall arise, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive even the very elect. And here we had Christian churches in Germany. Why didn't they know that Hitler was definitely not a very spiritual and God-led person? Why? Why? Because we let so many other things guide us than being connected to Christ or to God, and to really understand those principles. When you start seeing things that are happening that are not right, we should wake up, right? And realize that we are being deceived. But In the end, there are going to be these things that are happening to us. Did you know that there was a ship, the MS St. Louis? It had 900 Jewish souls on it, and they traveled around to all these NATO countries that are NATO countries today, and they would not let them disembark. Finally, they came to Florida, and they waited in the port, and they sent them back to Germany. Many of them died in gas chambers. You see, the whole thing about us rescuing the Jewish peoples was not on purpose. It was by accident. It was just the result of what happened because we defeated the Germans. So the Jews have always not been welcomed anywhere. So shame on them if they do the same thing the Nazis did to them. Do you hear me what I'm saying? Shame on them if they do the same thing the Nazis did to them, because they should have learned from that and become more compassionate as well. Yes, and this is the thing is, and I hear a lot of people, a lot of Christians talking about how we need to support this political machine, these wars, and just go at families and ravage them. Hey, this is war. This is war. Turn off their water. Kill them all. And these people are not even involved in the war. They're just living in the area, and they just happen to be the wrong race. I don't believe in everything that America believes in. Why should someone come and shoot me because George Bush says something, or what's the other guy? Clinton says something, or Trump says something, or Biden says something. Why should they shoot me? But that's what we're doing. We're all being what? Deceived. We're all being deceived, okay? And if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived, okay? There's a lot of things happening in our country, and this is it. And it's so neat. I never noticed this, but today, that this is a picture I looked up on the internet as for the Antichrist. One of the pictures of Jesus has blue eyes. The other one has brown. I never noticed that. I'm like, oh, there's such a subtle difference. I didn't even catch it. And I'm like, that is awesome. 666 as well. But this is what Paul wrote. And this is really the text that I want to emphasize with you folks today. Events prior to the Lord's coming. Now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed. He says, by those who say the Lord has already begun. Okay, now the day of the Lord has already begun, meaning that Jesus has come already. Right now, the evangelical world, if you listen to the radio, you know they believe in the secret rapture. And now, even more, and they're being very vocal now. First, there was a little bit on the fence for a lot of people, but now they're really adamant about preaching about the secret rapture. And what is Paul saying here? There's no secret rapture. He says, because that's not going to happen until what? The Antichrist comes, okay? Has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. Because this is what's supposed to happen right here. That day will not come until there is a great rebellion, so the tribulation. So we are, what do we believe in? We believe in post-tribulation. We believe that Jesus will come after the tribulation, but the majority of the evangelical world believes that Jesus is going to come before it and rapture everybody out of it, and they're going to heaven. Oh, that sounds good. I'll take that too. I remember my wife and I were listening to Mark Lowry, and he was talking about them going to a church, and the pastor was preaching about a post-tribulation. And he says, oh, we ain't going through the tribulation. So they went across the church because they preached a pre-tribulation. So, so that's it. We're just going to go over there. Better theology as well. But that's how many of us are. We just move ourselves around until we get people to agree with what we believe. And that's dangerous. We need to believe what the Bible says. Okay? We need to believe what the Bible says. Okay? And here it is. And look at this now. A great rebellion against God. The lawlessness is revealed. The one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy everything that the people of that people call God in every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. So where's this going to take place? Israel. So why do you think all the eyes are in Israel? The devil knows what he's doing. He is moving everyone to this event, even right now as I speak. That's why all of the controversy, all of the association with Israel, all those things that are happening over there is coming because we know there is going to be a movement with a what they call apostate Protestantism, apostate Catholicism, and they are going to promote the Antichrist. Okay? And they're, and because in their theology, Jesus is coming back to the earth, they're going to accept the Antichrist. And that is so scary because there are so many people believing in this theology, and it is wrong. It is wrong. So we need to be very careful. Very interesting. You recognize this image here? Where does that image come from? Oh, someone said it. That's a good Seventh-day Adventist. Who said that? Daniel 2. Okay. Now, I want to spend a little time because what I think is very important is that we all realize that all of us, even you, have been brainwashed or conditioned to think certain things. I'm going to show you a couple things here that we need to be aware of because we need to be vigilant, right? And the same word Jesus uses, don't be deceived. And the same word is used in the Garden of Eden. He was deceived by the serpent. And so what Jesus is telling us, don't be deceived like Eve was deceived, beguiled by the serpent, and to keep watch. Okay, so here is something I want to share with you that I had never really considered about until one of my pastor friends mentioned it to me, and I was blown away. I said, I never knew that. I never thought of it that way. But I'm going to go back to some studying. So he did. So I did, and I found out what he said was accurate. And this is what he said. When he said, this is not the beginning, he said, it just happened to be that Babylon was in power and was one of the greatest kingdoms, okay? But there was a greater kingdom that built Babylon, okay, before that, okay? So the gold is what? Babylon. The silver? Medo-Persia. The bronze or brass? The legs of iron? And then the mixed clay? Yeah, those are the little Rome. That is the later part of Rome. Now, this is interesting because what I want to share with you, there were another kingdom. There was another kingdom that ruled the world. And what's so interesting about it is that if you take, and I want to share this with you, if you take everybody, every race, and you mix them all together, you would probably come out with what type of a color? To be Adam. To be Adam. It's not black. It's not white. Reddish brown. And do you know the word for Adam is red dirt? Yes. Red dirt. So, yeah. So the world at first was ruled by the darker races. Okay. How do we know that? Well, because, oh, yes, I just put this in there. This is good Adventist stuff. But you look at the Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and then several illustrations of the beast of Rome, pagan Rome, and then Catholicism in Rome. But all of this, just wanted to share that with you. There was something before that, the Tower of Babel. Did you know that's Babylon? Okay. Now, and the thing is that I want to share it with you. Who was the guy? Who was the king? Who was the first that we know of? King. Who was it? Nimrod. And Nimrod was the son of who? No. Yeah, which son? Cush. Cush was the father of Africa. Did you know that? Yes. Cushites were a dark race. Does that fit the algorithm? Yes, it does. Because the first races had to be all dark because blending us all together would be red dirt, just like Adam. So we would go back. So Nimrod was the son of Cush. And if you read all the literature, Cush was the father of Africa. Okay? So now you have all these dark tribes. And this is what I always tell people, and this is why I share science. Remember I told you guys everything is entangled? If you see the algorithm, you know the truth. now, so I should see this algorithm somewhere in the world. I should see dark races all over the world somewhere. And guess what? I do. All the way from Africa to Australia, all the way to Micronesia, all the way through Polynesia, all dark races. They say that they got there, they had a hurricane, and one of them grabbed onto a tree and floated over to the islands. But we know that's not true, because in the literature, we have Vespucci and Magellan studying astronomy in Africa. Now, if the Africans were able to teach them how to read the star charts, you don't think they could have read them themselves and also voyaged as well? Yes, they did. And that's why we find a lot of African artifacts all over the world. And that's why it explains the algorithm. It goes back. Every time you have something accurate, you'll not only have it in the historical document, but you'll also have it in the algorithm. And you'll also have it in the Bible. The Bible is the most accurate historical document we have. Did you know that? Unrivaled by anything else. At Berkeley, a secular university, in their archaeological department, they use the Bible. And this was made prevalent by Albright. Albright in the 1930s, he laughed at the Bible. He ridiculed the Bible. He said it was just a bunch of myths and legends. But as he did his Middle East digs, he was shocked. Everything he dug up was in the Bible. All the other manuscripts and historical documents were not as accurate as the Bible. So he kind of straightened up. He got, you know, it scared him a little bit. But then he just said, hey, we just have to make sure that we could understand the history and just put the legends and myths aside. And so that was interesting. But what I am saying, and this is that I want you to see how all of us have been conditioned a little bit, because it's important that we understand. It says, now Cush fathered Nimrod, and he became a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, Akkadian, Calneh, and in the land of Shinar. From that land went to Assyria and built Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a huge empire as well, okay? And Rehoboth, Calah, and Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, that is the great city. So this is the beginning. So now what I want you to see is that you have the dark races, and then you have the Semitic races, okay? The king of Babylon was from a Semitic race, okay? All those Middle Eastern folks are Semitics, okay? Do you know what that means? Mixed. Okay? Mixed, okay? So, of course, then, where would Jesus come if you had dark races, mixed races, and light races? Where would he come from? Out of the mixed races. He's a Semite. He's a Jewish, okay? So he has a blend of all the races, and that's where he came from. And if you follow the biblical record, it's very accurate, okay? So now we have Nimrod, and now we have the full story. But the statue in Daniel 2 never told the full story, because it began with Nimrod. Okay, do you see that connection now? And so now there's one more level, and here's Polynesia, and here's another algorithm. We see all through these islands. Look how far that is. That's vast. You think they floated out there on a log? No. No, they didn't. At one time, these dark races had a quite a global community as well. And I want to show you a couple of things. Now, these folks from Fiji, do they look like they're from Africa or associated with folks from Africa? They do. They do. Okay, so it quite likely then could be that they were a part of that first empire. Okay, their ancestors. And then we have some things too. Now, look at this guy. Anyone know who that guy is? This guy right here. King Kamehameha I. Does he look Japanese? Does he look Chinese? That's what they're trying to say, that he's from Asia. Does he look like he's from Asia? Just, I mean, this is the best portrait we have of King Kamehameha. What does he look like? He looks like a dark race, doesn't he? He looks like a dark, either South Asia or Africa. Okay, he is not from Japan. He's not from China. Okay, we can see it very clearly. These people were there. And then you can see here, now they're mixing a little bit more with the white culture. This guy, I don't know, he is a descendant, but they're taking on European culture. You see, but that's not Asians, as we think, from Asia. But that's what they try to say. That's the thing that they're sharing with us. Because, again, our history with slavery, we don't want that to look like we really took human beings. We took something more closer to animals and enslave them. They were not civilized. They did not have. And Timbuktu, you can read about Timbuktu, a university in Africa that flourished with scholarly books. The reason that the Europeans wanted Africa is because it was bustling with ports of ivory and gold. And they wanted that. Diamonds in South Africa. All these valuable riches. And they had trade routes set up with Asia and all these other islands. It was rich, but Europe was more militarily advanced than them, and so they were able to conquer them, okay? But don't think that these folks did not add to our history. They did. They're a part of the human race, and they also added value. Every single one of our cultures added value. And what I'm sharing with you, it's so easy to be deceived. Be careful. Do your homework. Find out what's true, because, oh, and here, look at that. What do you think? They're from Japan? China? That's what they're trying to say. They're trying to say, these people are from the Solomon Islands, okay? These are one of the oldest tribes we know of the Solomon Islands, okay? And I do have a theory of what happened. If they were once a flourishing empire, what happened to them? How come they went really got really primitive and some of them became cannibals? And this is just a theory I have. A theory is because when you don't have an influx of DNA and material and things like that, you become inbred. And when you become inbred, your view of life and your mental outlook becomes much reduced. Okay, and that's why you find in any country where you have a flourishing of cultures and ideas, those areas are much more intellectual than when you go to a small place that is just by itself and everyone's inbred in that area. It's cross-pollination. You see it in life. But that's probably what happened here is that whole system, that whole empire failed. And then these people then begin to only participate within themselves, became more inbred in philosophy and idea, and became much more reduced than they once were. Okay? So here it is. So can we be deceived? I think we can. And what's interesting, I've done these lectures before, and people wanted to challenge me on it. And like years later, like, you were right. I never knew that. You know? So I challenge people, please check your sources and see what you can find. Because we are all, the biggest one is still coming. The biggest deception is still coming. Okay, but we have help. We have the Bible. We have the Spirit. Now, dear brothers and sisters, don't be afraid. Let me clarify these things. Now, what I want to go to is the next part of this text. And this is interesting here, is that, again, he goes to the temple. Now, one of the things about what's important with this is that if you read the next part of this text, it says that Paul says that God allowed these people to be deceived. And does anyone know what the answer is in that text? Why did God allow those people to be deceived at the end time? Because they refused to believe the truth. We have time right now. We have time now to do our own searching and to find out what's true and to verify what's true and to study what's true and to get together with other believers and find out what's true. We were talking about that today. Small groups, those types of things, working on your spiritual growth, making that important. Because if it's not important, guess what? You're going to be one of these people. easily deceived. But when you know what the truth is, when you are desiring God, when God is at the center of your life, when you are searching after him, what does he say? Seek me and I will. Yeah, you will. I will be found. Okay. So Revelation, all these different things that we've seen. There was a beast out of the sea. And now the sea, I know there's some good Adventists in here. The sea means what? Yeah, it means a lot, right? And what was the populous area before the United States? It would be Europe, right? So this would have been Europe. So we know that this is the power out of Rome, okay? But then there was another animal that came out of the earth. So if one came out of the sea, which means lots of people, and the earth means not that many people, what was another nation that came out where there was not that much people? That would be the United States. You know, many of our evangelicals right now don't believe that the United States are in prophecy. So we're being set up for failure again and to be deceived. No. 1260 days, around 1798, there was a people. And what is our independence? Yeah, it's pretty close, isn't it? Yeah, pretty close. 1700s, okay. So yes, the United States is there. It says, then I saw a second beast, and this is what's coming. This is what's coming in this country. I love this country. I've traveled all over, and I always come back. I love this country. And I'll tell everyone, hey, it's the best country I've ever lived in. And I've been to another, I lived in Israel for a bit as I did my graduate studies. I've been to the Philippines for about a month, and I've traveled all over the world, but I always wanted to come back to the United States. But at the same time, I need to recognize some things as well. Then I saw a second beast coming out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It exercised all the authority of the first beast on its behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. So the first beast is Rome. The second beast is the United States. Do you see that now? Do you see that we will be a part of that religious, political image of the beast? Okay, and it's coming. It's coming, and you think that it sounds very religious? It is, but it's very biased because you'll be the next Palestinian. Okay, just how they're going to do it to the Palestinians, they'll do it to us as well. The Muslim or whatever group they want to do. It was the Germans for us. Remember, we didn't like Germans. We didn't like Japanese. We didn't like any of our enemies, okay? So now they're making religious groups enemies, okay, here in the United States. So the thing is for us to understand that this is coming and so that we can know that there are things. Now, one of the things that's very interesting, and I want to share that with you here, and I asked the question about how and why is because God gave them all this information and they refused to believe. So God allows them to be deceived. So, but the second point to that, why God allows that to happen, because when he comes, when Jesus comes, he only wants two groups. Nobody on the fence. So when that deception comes, the people on the fence are going to go one way or the other. Either in the deceived group or in the saved group, okay? So that's what's happening. And so God wants us to make up our minds. That's what he wants. Make up your mind. Who do you serve? Do you serve yourself? Do you serve darkness or do you serve light? See, that's the whole thing. God is just wanting us to make up our minds because he doesn't want us to be deceived. Otherwise, if we wait till the very end and we haven't made up our minds, we will most likely be deceived. Okay? So here it is. They asked, when will these things happen? What will be the sign? He replied, watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. And then, when you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will come. I will not come right away. Then he said, Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, pestilence, various places, and fearful events, great signs from heaven. And this is what Paul says when he talks about deceptions. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. There's a good thing. Watch who you hang out with, okay? That's a part of the deception. Sober up morally. Stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame, okay? But those are the things that we have that we know are coming. We know are coming. But as people of the book, we have an advantage. We have an advantage, right? Because we know they are coming, we can make better choices. And as we were talking today as well, as Adventists, we need to be more community-oriented because there's a lot of people in the community who don't know what's coming. Don't you think that they should also know this message of knowing that there's a great deception coming and we want them to make the right decision for Christ, the true Christ, and not the Antichrist? Because the Antichrist is coming, but it's almost like to us, it's kind of a myth to so many of us now because we're intellectuals. No, that's not going to happen. Oh, yeah, we talked about it for a long time, but it's not really real. But no, it is real. It's coming right now. Look around the world. You see how everybody's polarizing, right? And unfortunately, the evangelicals who used to be our friends are polarizing the other way. But that was the whole prophecy about apostate Protestantism and apostate Catholicism. What does that mean? The reason I say that and I stress it is because there are some good Catholics. There's some good evangelicals. There's some good Hindus. There's some good Muslims. There's some good Adventists. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about these structures that are going to be used within prophecy. Okay? Because those are the things that allows it to deceive us. Because we think, not through the United States, not through a religious structure. No, it can never be. But yes, that's exactly Satan's plan. And so we can stay vigilant. And we could avoid all these things by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy and your word. Lord, you gave it to us so that we can have a qualitative life and know what is coming and how to avoid the darkness. And Lord, we just pray right now, Holy Spirit, as we open up our hearts, fill us, Lord, and place your compass in us so that we'll always know what true north is. We love you, Lord. We thank you for giving us everything for our victory, and most of all, your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for dying on our behalf and giving us eternal life. And in your name, we pray all these things. Amen.